Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. This afternoon, we have the distinct privilege to present to you Carolyn W. Casey, visiting our fair town, I believe, next weekend. We'll talk more about that shortly. For those who don't know, Carolyn describes herself as an astro-mytho-politico-talk-ritual visionary activist. Welcome, Carolyn, to the Dr. Future Show.
It is a delight.
For starters, I've noticed you're quite a follower of Joseph Campbell. Perhaps I even have worked with him in the past.
I did. At the tail end, before his elegant departure on Halloween, stylish to the end. Yeah, no, he was the first model I found as a kind of teenager of going, that's what it means to be an educated, mythologically literate, interesting person. And then later I came to study Grail legend with him. So yeah, I include in my bio that I'm a curmudgeon whisperer because I've worked with many brilliant grumpy men.
Excellent. It's interesting because one of the things that struck me about his work as a youth growing up was that he talked about the need for us to find a new myth, a new story to tell ourselves who we are as a species. And I'm wondering if you took that to heart or thought about that yourself.
Oh, always. Yeah, always. Yeah, well, we're here. You know, how lucky it is to be incarnationally coinciding right now with you and the dynamic listeners at this powerful time. How do we assume cultural narrative lead rather than just reacting, going, here's the Renaissance. We want to.
Well, what is the Renaissance? I guess it gets down to every person figuring out for themselves their role in what a true Renaissance would be.
Ah, but it is good to gather, too.
That's true. I mean, that's how you figure it out, I guess, eh?
Well, I think we gather kind of energy. I like to say, you know, we can be depressed on our own, but it takes a group in which to be alienated. There's also the positive aspects of the round table.
Yes.
You know, Campbell, you know, his exit line, right, was he said, the tumult in the Middle East gives evidence to the mythological bankruptcy of the three major religions. And then he was like, gotta go. It's a good exit line.
It is. But if we have these storylines coming from the three religions, do you, as a storyteller, think about, well, what kind of plot I can create that would take these three different storylines and create some better outcome than what we're getting?
Yes. And part of it, you know, let's go backwards to go forwards. There's merit and value in everything. So to situate ourselves, part of the spectacular sky story that is woofing to us to Kahoot is on the vernal equinox, March 20th, there was a solar eclipse.
Yes.
We didn't see it, right? But it was in Svalbard, Norway, and surrounding Greenland, and many of the places on Earth that are in melting crisis, drawing our attention.
Yes.
But eclipse, the very last degree of the zodiac, the realm of all powerful myths and music and poetry that has ever brought out the best in humans. And so we go, let's pack that in our magic backpacks, and then the sun entered first degree of zodiac. Let's bring it alive in a fresh new way, but every person by affinity. So I often work with Neil Douglas Klotz, who's an Aramaic scholar. Aramaic is the vernacular language that Jesus would have spoken.
Yes, said, 60 Minutes just did a piece on it last Sunday of a town in Iraq where they still speak Aramaic, a Christian town.
Yes, I've been to one of those towns in Syria. May they all be blessed. But what Neil says is the worst language to translate Aramaic, which is richly, metaphorically, is Greek, which is more kind of, ugh. And that's what happened. As an example, he says, what comes to us as blessed are the meek, you know, used by the Dementors to justify inequality. He said, in Aramaic, it's more like, blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. You go, oh, you can work with that.
Yeah, the power of love, connection with nature. Yeah, that's pretty universal.
Right. And then also he pointed out that when Jesus says, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, the word he uses in Aramaic for serpent is the same word for Eve and wisdom. So I go, Eve, wisdom, snake, same word. So all, you know, religious wars and subjugation of women in the earth is basically a translation error, you know, and he goes, yeah, pretty much. an intentional translation error.
So, yes.
And, you know, in early Christianity, the word heretic was an honorific, like, boy, that Alan, boy, Dr. Future sure is a heretic. It meant free-thinking person, and it was admired until the religious impulse was kidnapped and hoodwinked into servitude to the state.
Well, that's when they put in the toll roads to the to the divine, right?
the privileged roads and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, the hierarchy. Well, how much of that is from our monkey bodies? You know, I mean, there's a certain amount of code that we just inherited that is hierarchical and that is.
We wonder. Well, you know, right this moment, just for the fun of it, where we both are, you know, on the West Coast, Jupiter, representing the intelligence of storytelling, is right rising in the east right now for all of us, and we go, ooh. So how we tell the story, and the more we know, the better. We are just as linked to bonobos, for instance, by DNA, as we are to chimps.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And they resolve everything with sex and sharing.
Uh-huh.
But also...
A very good point.
Scientists did an experiment with hierarchical monkeys, dominator monkeys, bull primate, you know, and they kept adding more bull primate males, you know, and at a certain saturation point, and you can feel the analogy, what happened was... Half of the male monkeys were like, we're out of this jockeying for position. We're going to go, we're going Jamaican. We're going to go hang out with the women and have culture. And the male bull primates.
Can we continue this after a break? We have to go to a hard break.
All died. Okay,
hold on a sec. We'll be right back and after the break with the conclusion of this story on primates. Thanks for holding the thought. Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Carolyn Casey. She was just sharing with us a story of our deep ancestors, a monkey story. Can you backtrack a little bit for the audience? More towards the beginning, we'll tell that story again, Carolyn.
You know, isn't it just in order to be grumpy and warlike and dominator, isn't it in our DNA? And we go, no, that's one story. So Science, New York Times, from which I get most of my metaphysics, let all natural facts be social strategy metaphors. Mm-hmm. So scientists took... very bull primate hierarchy male monkeys and kept adding more into their thing. So they were, and you know, at a certain point, half the male monkeys were like, we're out of this game. We're going to be Jamaican. We're going to go hang out with the women, have culture. The remaining male monkeys who all strove for dominance, they all died. Either they killed each other or they died of heart disease and cancer.
Oh, geez.
So it says dominance is an evolutionary dead end. We must die to it, lest we die from it. And part of the model right now is that. I mean, right now, dominance and empire are going down, but taking so much life with it. But what's coming up, and we're all invited to be a part of this, is a renaissance of reverent ingenuity, bringing out the best of everybody, the ornery, disobedient, creative, ingenious part. But there was another science thing also, too, that took male rats and voles and whatever and said, if we expose the male rats and even the little virgin boy rats to pups, it changes their brain physiologically, in which they become like nurturing guys, you know, and even midwives, the rats and the voles and everybody, all the males would then help the mothers give birth, even lick the little baby as it's coming out. And we go, you know, let's do that. The plasticity of our brain to transcend dominance is available.
It's pretty there, yeah. And it probably adapts from culture to culture as we move through time, I would imagine. And I guess what's interesting for us is we're going towards a global culture now where we're having all the different cultures of the planet at all different stages of evolution meeting each other. And we're creating this very complex communication system we're calling the Internet to connect everyone together in ways they've never dreamed of before. So it sort of speaks of some new myth of this species that is forming here that maybe has to do with species identity, perhaps, or superorganism.
It's good for us to wonder what is unique to our species aside from our rudeness.
Well, I think we are clever monkeys. We amuse nature. We give her new ways of playing with herself, from what I can see.
Yeah.
And also the ability to spread her seed to other star systems and planets. So we have the...
Maybe, but we go, boys, no leaving the planet till you've cleaned your room.
Well, yes, but we've already sent, you know, she's also already hijacked herself onto the Viking 1 spacecraft, where if you open up the inside of the craft, there are some bacteria that survived the journey. You know, so she's already hitchhiked this last, so she knows we can do this. And I think that's a special ability that, that we offer nature, if you ask me. But I'm, you know, I'm Dr. Future, so I can't vouch for that being necessarily completely here yet.
Well, the trickster, I mean, yes. For humans to come into collaborative, the opposite dominance, collaborative partnership with the ingenuity, the ingenious, resilient intelligence of nature that we call trickster. Mm. And our word human comes from humus, dirt, from which we get the word humble. We are meant to be of the dirt, humble partner species. And I think, you know, part of the mythology also is perhaps what is unique to us is our opportunity and responsibility to borrow qualities of intelligence from the flora and fauna of this planet.
Yes, yes.
And part of the boys' escape fantasy of diaspora is like, fair enough, we can have the visionary adventurers and the radical traditionalists and the people who take off from the planet can alleviate the population burden, perhaps. There's a lot of stories we can spin, but it's got to be simultaneous and always that, you know, with movies about we're going forth. And I go, what about the animals? It's why I left the Catholic Church. What about everybody else?
Yeah, well, that's fair. You know, where it takes me, at least, when I start embracing the pagan paradigm, everything becomes alive. You know, not just creatures on the planet, but the planet itself is a living being, right? And we communicate with that. And then if the planet is alive, what does that make the solar system, or the galaxy for that matter? Right? We're inside this massive living process that's communicating, right?
And you know, NASA scientists actually were picking up signals, you know, even over the last week from this star system, in which they were thrilled because the signal was so, they said it was prime numbers, it was so, number 5 was also really important, and they thought it was, you know, whatever, and then they go, oh, no, it's actually, we thought it was something alive, but it's actually just the universe. And we go, that's alive too. And they call it some chaotic, oscillating, secret signal, some term the boys made up.
Yeah.
And we love that. Yes, signals, yeah, everything alive. And let's do a shout out to one of the great cultural animists of all time, Terry Pratchett, who died
Terry
last
Pratchett. Year. What's Terry known for?
Terry's known for selling 75 million books in a worthy way. He is a fantastic animist. His books are in which everything's alive. They are profound and very, very witty and taking on the dark shadow of our times. But everything's alive. Even a whimper escaped his lips, happy to be free. Everything, the whimper's alive, the chair is alive, the luggage is alive. But yes, exactly as you say, whatever we speak to, see, we love synchronicity when we go, hello, hello, and someone comes back, hello, and you go, ooh, we love that.
Yes, we do. Synchronicity, I think we take as, maybe that's the direction the universe wants us to go.
Yeah, we are the molecules with which the universe speaks with itself through the agency of synchronicity, going, okay, I'm the you part of me, but we're all in this dream together.
Yeah,
you know?
And it behooves us to remember that, I assume.
Good use of word behoove. Yes. We love that. I love behoove.
Isn't it that? Yes. A term I learned from my mother.
Well, also science, bless its heart, you know, has discovered a new report that says learning new words stimulates the same part of the brain as sex. We go, ooh, okay.
Intelligence is the ultimate aphrodisiac. Remember that?
Maybe so. Yeah, exactly. Could well be. Who brought what is kind of where we're at the party. I haven't been to Santa Cruz in a fairly long time, but it has a great place in my heart as a center for grounded scientific magic. And I do just want to do a shout out to Ancestor, whom I host on radio show, Philip Slater, who used to, before his death, lived in Santa Cruz, and maybe now too. Did you ever read his novel, How I Saved the World?
How I Saved the World. No, I'm going to take a note.
Oh, it's great, because it's about Santa Cruz, and it's about, you know, ourselves, befoibled superheroes doing what they can, using all of their skills to astral travel through the Pentagon to pull the switch on war and do, I mean, it's adorable. So I just want to do a shout out to Ancestor, you know, Philip Slater, and How I Saved the World, that we use, experiment with everything, going, let's try everything.
Yeah, hilarious. Santa Cruz mindset here. What was his name again?
Philip Slater.
Philip, okay.
Philip Slater, important ancestor to your town. And there are, you know, many eminent, fabulous people who live there, of course, too. But place of synchronicity, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. It's Santa Cruz, I guess it literally means the Holy Cross. It's kind of a crossroads where many different people have come and meet each other and socialize and create new realities from those social moments, and which I expect we'll be doing with you. Which reminds me, let's talk a little bit about what you'll be saying in Santa Cruz. Magnetizing the Return of Harmonia, I think is the name of your talk. Can you tell us a little bit what you mean by that?
Yes. Well, Saturday, March 28th at 7 p.m., I will be in Santa Cruz at the Center for Spiritual Living, 1818 Felt Street. But yes, we're calling all those willing to be agents of the compassionate trickster redeemer at this time of dire beauty. So in mythology, when Mars and Venus tryst, they have a daughter, Harmonia. And in the sky right now, Mars and Venus have just gotten married.
Really?
At the equinox. The equal masculine feminine, the equal Mars Venus, the equal night day, the equal humans and the rest of our relations on this planet is available. So part of our magic is to invite power into the world and offer it a template. You know, come on in, power, and here, animate this story or this poem or this thing dedicated to acts of beauty trump tyranny. So we invite, which is Venus, kind of magnetize, and then animate, which is kind of Mars. Magnetize and animate. If people remember nothing else, just remember in your magic backpack, like Dorothy's slippers, you have all kinds of powers and gifts, the capacity to magnetize and then to animate.
Okay, so is there going to be a talk for about an hour and a half, and then you'll be answering questions? Is that the format?
It's a little more. I'll be cahooting with Santa Cruz, often native person, spirit brother, David Lynn Grimes, who will be singing beautiful songs. It's a fantastic. I've never had a better organizing crew than in Santa Cruz. Again, shout out to Paul Galen and Hina Pindle and yourself and whatever. Yeah. Going, man, Santa Cruz is very organized. Wow. So it's a real thing. You show up at 7 p.m. on Saturday, and we have, it's an astrological, political, narrative storytelling, beautiful music, and participatory call and response.
Great. Karen, can you stay on for after the break? We have some people in the studio here that I think would like to shout out to you.
Sure.
We'll be right back after the CBS News. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Carolyn Casey, a host of Visionary Activist Show. And I do want to talk to Carolyn a little bit more what she means by that and the astro-mythical political talk ritual revival meeting. But before we do that, we have some people that just arrived into the studio that she knows. Carolyn, meet Hina Pendle.
Oh, yay.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hey, you cute, organized, competent creature.
So it's part of your team here, eh?
It's that Virgo, you know.
And I think another member of your team, Galen.
Paul Galen.
Oh, bless your heart. Yes.
Yeah, we're all here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear you tell us a little bit about Sunday's trickster tea party.
Is it like a Mad Hatter tea party or what?
Well, very much so without the toxin. Madness without poison. There we go. Yes. So I give in cahoots with other, you know, talk on Saturday night at 7. And then perfectly Sunday, 3 to 6 p.m., is a trickster training tea party council with a purpose, with fantastic food that Paul and Hina can tell you about. But also it's where we tease the principles into council so that everybody's got all of their skills kind of polished. And so we go the arts of magnetizing metaphor into matter and irresistible eloquence and irony and satire and riposte and rejoinder and repartee and metaphoric agility and mythological literacy and precision and cultural effectiveness.
A lot of words, ma'am.
A lot of words, that's right. We'll eat words,
but you're
well
gonna
drink tea.
You're going to bring people out of their shells and things will happen, sounds like.
People can bring themselves out of their own shell.
Oh, that's true.
They can come and stay in their shell, Liberty Hall.
An example.
As long as it's a freedom, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, and it sounds like the food menu looks over the top, too. What do we have on that?
What's music, food?
Savory sauerkraut. I've never thought of sauerkraut as savory.
Oh, it is.
It is, yeah.
Paul can explain that. I think it'll be a more intimate, smaller venue where we can really go a lot deeper into Caroline is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Here's synchronicity, you guys. This is the venue where Alan and I got married.
Oh, that's true. The spiritual center.
That's right. I was there.
And you were there.
Wow.
We love that place.
I did a series of work. I taught workshops there for years.
True power. Center for Conscious Living.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so, Carolyn, do you like to bring groups out like this regularly? You go out and...
I do. I come alive. I live alone with an actual coyote, and then I venture forth to California where it's all humming, going, oh, la, la, la. We love to gather now. Uh-huh. Yes, even people who haven't been out of their house, you know, it's ollie income free. Emerge, everybody out of your witness relocation program. Time to gather. calling all wizards and whatever, the time is now to who brought what? Again, cultivate and magnetize, cultivate, animate gifts. Right. But also, personally and collectively, it's a great time for breaking old spells, throwing things into the cauldron, and ladling out new, better stories.
So this helps bring out the new story when we see everybody and who they are and what they want to do in the movie, so to speak. Huh? It becomes more of a collaborative group process of what's next.
Yeah. And again, we're in a most auspicious field of increased serendipitous synchronicity, as though the backstage gods are like, humans, God, we're going to have to either kill them or heal them. Let's try healing them first. Let's increase what's always true, but make it stronger, truer, the power of story, power of blessing, power of each person's inward dedication magnetizes the outward opportunity and the adventure. So it's a really great time, you know, come join us or whatever you want to do, also yourself. It's a great time to clarify each person, what are we dedicated to? Because it's about to get even busier. We meet our inner lives in outward circumstance. So it's good to get kind of lined up and clear. What stories are we done with? Don't need to kind of reanimate that thing.
You mean like, and what are we dedicated to? War, for example? I mean, or what?
Yeah, war would be good. You know, hyper-yang, death frenzy. Because you were touching on it before about what do we encourage in the global conversation? What are we encouraging in Mars? We want the positive hero, the green man, the gardening, the Paul Galen-like herbal man, the protector of children and life. That, because there's so much rudeness we've set in motion, so many crises. We want first responders. We want to transform, to liberate Mars from the servitude of unimaginative war and cruelty into goodness.
Yeah, didn't you say something about Mars marrying Venus?
Mars is marrying Venus, and I love Martin Brechtel. He has kind of one joke, but he says, courtship. Courtship is really good between Mars and Venus and men and women and men and women and women and everything. He says it's good for the Earth. He says what passes for courtship in America is the Mars guy saying, look, I made a golden statue of myself for you. And he goes, no, that's not courtship. You know? So this to and fro, and in the mythological dynamic, you know, King Arthur doesn't die. He goes to go, you know, hang out with women taking Pilates classes, you know, until the world falls in
I like
back.
That, yeah.
Going, you know, come back, positive yang, to dance with positive yin. We need within each person, come on out. So, yeah, so many opportunities are being proffered to us. It would behoove, yes, we love behoove, it would behoove us to animate them desirably, lest we leave them by default to the Dementors.
No! Remember, it was,
well, George W. Bush, you know, bombed Iraq on the vernal equinox, Persian New Year, right? The day sacred to little baby ducks and lambs in Persian New Year and New Year. He's going, I'm going to kill everything. Right. Better that we move in to animate and, again, assume cultural narrative lead, the likes of yourself with radio and whatnot, so that we have a story, so we're not just reacting to the bad things. Although we want to know those. But we go, here's where we're going.
Yeah,
come
exactly.
on, team.
Yeah, have you ever heard of the Great Transition Stories? There's a website, greattransitionstories.org. It's a wiki of a collection of people's ideas of what they think the global myth is now.
Oh.
It's kind of an interesting collection. You can add to it. Like one is, but we've heard all these in many, many different contexts. Like, for example, a global brain awakens. That's one. The global brain awakens.
Sounds like the global brain is calling.
That's the global brain is calling.
There you go. There you go.
That's funny. You know, in the Lawnmower Man movie, that was the sign of the machine being taken over by the Lawnmower Man.
The rise of the Cyber Christ AI.
All the phones rang simultaneously.
Well, that was very cute. And so global brain going, global brain trying to use a landline. That's adorable.
It reaches everywhere. We're on AM radio, so, you know, we reach everywhere.
Yeah.
Then another big myth is humanity is growing up. You know, are we like going from our adolescence into adulthood? Are we just being born? You know, what's the story there? You know, where is humanity in the overall story arc of our species?
Well, I think it's good without being too simple to say it is an evolutionary opportunity for everyone to become an animist. I love Lewis Hyde, you know, great honor of trickster, says, you know, if you look at the biological history of life on this planet between predator and prey 60,000 years ago, predator much smarter than prey by brain size. And then we move forward 30,000 years, everybody's smarter. Predator still smarter than prey. And then we move forward into now, everybody's smarter. So predator-prey is one of the great, you know, engines of evolution on this planet, but Darwin also knew that something was missing from that theory. It's one theory, which was altruism. And that's where we bring Neptune in, going, we're all in this dream together. The evolutionary opportunity to go, there is no pain or suffering that we don't, or joy, that we don't all participate in, that self-interest is collective interest. Mm. And that's kind of where we're moving now. And animating metaphors. So for years, but I like to remind all of us that we all have a magic mirror. The secular critic, important, hold part of us, holds up a mirror and goes, look, it sucks, in detail. And then the trickster, with a wave of the hand, turns the mirror into a window, but look how beautiful it could be. And then with another wave of the hand, turns it into a door. Let's go. So that's part of our frame, going critique, critique, important, mirror, window, door. Let's look at things honestly, like, oh my God, phew, the amount of irreverence and death and craziness, but not a politics of fear.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about, in the wiki, they would be under the choosing conscious evolution.
That's good. Yeah.
Process.
Right, sure.
Our capacity for reflective or witnessing consciousness to know what we know.
But I do want to throw humanism into the cauldron.
Humans,
you know, and the hubris of humanism into the composting cauldron and ladle out the truth of animism. Everything's alive and cooperators are standing by and, you know, to cooperate with wolf and coyote and galaxies and, I mean, everything in a humble way. It's time for humans to get over themselves, I think.
Yeah.
More like humans in a Chinese landscape painting, going big nature and then little teeny, teeny person with a wheelbarrow way down in the valley.
Yeah, well, that's the hero's journey. I guess that's another big path here where everyone learns their lessons of ego and humbleness becomes part of the outcome of a successful hero's journey, right? And that's part of why we would go on a journey, is to learn how to relate to the universe in a conscious way, it seems to me. So, but also a big part of that in the Bay Area here, trusting the power of love. Wouldn't you say that would be a fair description?
Yeah, but I want more mangoes.
You want more mangoes.
So many alleged spiritual teachers or whatnot are very abstract, going, you know, love.
That's too general for you. Of course, you're on Berkeley side, right? You're not the San Francisco.
I'm Washington, D.C.
Oh, you are? Oh, we're in trouble now.
I am your ambassador in Washington.
I am obviously not humbled enough. Yeah, thank you.
Mordor.
You're welcome.
How's the quest for more mangoes going?
Well, for all of us, I think we'll have many mangoes on Sunday from 3 to 6. But because, see, metaphors, sensual metaphors, are the incarnational vessel whereby power enters the world. Oh. So all cultures of any beauty and substance have had metaphors. Like, again, John, Middle East, it's what we need from the Middle East.
Yeah.
John O'Donohue, you know, would say the blessing discipline is when this, then may this. Mm. When the ghost of loss stands behind you, then may the ancestors place a cloak around your shoulders that will mend your life.
Thank you. We must go to a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Thank you. We'll be right back talking to Carolyn Casey, the Dr. Future Show. Back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking to Carolyn Casey.
Caroline.
What's my line? Okay, got it. Caroline. Okay, sorry. Okay, we had a question from Hina, I think it was, about avocados. Is that what you're saying?
Would you take avocados your mangoes?
With the mangoes.
Yes. Any sensual thing.
Yes. Okay.
Any sensual thing. You hear that, Paul?
Sensual.
We have a sensual menu for Sunday, which will be unbelievable. I can only assure you that it'll meet every expectation of everyone.
No. You can do more than that. Tell us what it is.
Ah, you want me to tell you. Okay.
All right. I'll pass over the menu here.
Enough abstraction.
We have
down to molecules, man.
We have four kinds of tea. We have a green tea, a pu'er, a jagolan, a jasmine, osmanthus rose, and a cold hibiscus mint water.
Cold hibiscus?
Yeah, we have four teas of hot and one cold. Then we have many appetizers and carrots and celery and romaine for dipping with the different olives and savory sauerkraut that I'm making. New Natives is donating their sprouts. Mm. Also, we have three farms. We have Whiskey Hill, we have New Natives, and we have Blue Heron are donating the produce for this meal.
May I ask you, are you serving the food like appetizers?
It's an organic buffet.
A buffet. So you're walking around schmoozing with people and you walk over to this incredible buffet and help yourself.
Absolutely. And we have a deck there, which is very beautiful.
Oh, in the back.
The setting is very nice. You have the deck and you have the room and you have a nice kitchen. So we have a nice place. We rearranged the tables today.
Oh, so it's a really interesting place to meet our community.
Yeah. And we have dishes. We have a California Greek salad. We have steamed vegetables and mushrooms from Sandra, and a 5-mushroom polenta. We have, I assume you'll be bringing the Mary's Gone Crackers.
Yes, Mary's Gone Crackers. These are animistic wafers of entrepreneurial success.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll be having that. And we have a homemade hummus and a homemade baba ganoush and a homemade pomegranate and walnut tapenade and an heirloom charpita pepper corn bean salsa and a red spicy Aztec to India dip. And a hempkin oil with a sea plant dressing. We have desserts, a raw butternut tort, a fresh and dried fruit cauldron, which will be amazing of fruits, and that will be somewhere we can all dive into. And we have hemp cocoa maca and the chai chocolate, and we have many other things. So we'll have
We should camp out for the whole weekend, really. I mean, it's an overnight slumber party.
You have to bring your 420 card?
There's a deck. There's a deck, so I think
that'll be
fine.
Okay, deck, right. Okay.
Well, that's fabulous. Sensual incarnate. So let me also guide people to the Sunday. It's not just free-range grazing. We gather. We get to throw old, tired language, old, tired spells into the cauldron, and then ladle out good things. And then we have a break going, all right, everybody graze and eat. All right, now we're back to doing music and mojo and gathering and teasing.
That's
so we can
music.
throw tired language into the cauldron, because it's going to be dangerous a little bit. I mean, I want to, a little bit dangerous in a good way when people go, I just want unconditional love. And I go, unconditional love, what a boring abstract phrase. Into the cauldron it goes. Let's get something.
It's some new terms.
So we want it to be, if you're like, ooh, no, we want bold playfulness going, throw everything into the cauldron and go, is it equal? Is the trickster welcome? Is it equal men and women? Is it equal humans and everybody else? We ladle it out. If not, we throw it back into the cauldron. It'll be fine. So all sacred teachings, all old language, all old stories into the cauldron, and then we ladle out and spiral positive. Well, we're doing ritual magic, really. The purpose of ritual magic is to spiral into group human mind, expanded wisdom and play and tolerance.
But the difference is it's open to everyone, right? It's not just a particular...
No, it's open to everybody who feels so-called, who wants to be an agent of the compassionate trickster redeemer now.
There you go. Okay. We must be clear about that.
Yes, right, exactly. Right. Yeah, a jolly cahoot and a good time for everybody to meet their allies,
Excellent. Very
so, we're talking a lot about the Sunday buffet, but let's not forget that there's the Saturday night.
Which is almost a sine qua non. I would strongly encourage anybody who wants to come to Sunday, you can do whatever you want, of course, but it would make much more sense if you gathered on Saturday at 7, because that's where we're laying out the kind of full animated story about which you cannot take notes fast enough, okay? So just forget taking notes. And then on Sunday would be where we tease it and people can bring up questions and whatnot. But Saturday, March 28th at 7 p.m. with many beautiful musicians and also David Lynn Grimes, but that's where we put out the astrological, political, mythological guiding story that we're all in, from which to derive our strategy. So strongly encourage attending Saturday night, no matter what, but especially if you want to come to Sunday, that would be really good.
Okay.
Right, and for tickets, we want to make sure people know they go to carolyncasey.eventbrite.com.
Or coyotenetworknews.com, which is my website that has everything.
And that's linked to our website.
Excellent. Oh, well done, competent.
If they're not on the internet, they can call me. I'm Hina. And they can call me at 662-2232. And we'll get them tickets and we'll get them all hooked up.
Material code 831.
831, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. If anyone has any questions to talk to Carolyn, please feel free to give us a call at 831-479-1080. There's a couple other things on these global myths I just wanted to run by you. One is called a path of gender reconciliation. Okay, it's a resurgence of the feminine and the revaluing the qualities and caring of cooperation, receptivity, relationship building. The feminine archetype has been expanding on a large scale for our species, and it's a big part of the unfolding story that's happening now. You would agree with that, right?
Kind of.
Okay.
We go, yes, I like throwing the word archetype into the cauldron, too.
Okay.
Just for the fun of it. It was a word embraced by Jung as a kind of machine-like sounding word to smuggle living things into academia without anybody noticing. But so we go, yeah. But the dance of Mars and Venus within every person, let everybody marry themselves and come to relationships mm-hmm. as whole, not hungry.
Recognizing the inner feminine and inner masculine of yourself.
Right, and the Mars and Venus is such a, our language is, gender language is so common, but the mythological language is really great. So within everyone is a dance of Mars and Venus and the birth of Harmonia that we all get to, especially on Sunday, customize, going, and what does your trickster Harmonia look like? And maybe she has gecko feet, and maybe she has dragon wings, and maybe kite ears, and maybe she's like chamomile. The more you step on it, the faster it grows. And, just qualities that we want to... Mm-hmm. But yes, tolerance for everybody is part of what we're spiraling out. And the return of what has been shamed into exile, returning now.
Okay. Son, did you say we had a caller?
Yeah, we do. Would you like to say hello to... Soleil of Santa Cruz. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Hi, Soleil.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. I heard something. Can you say hi? You're on the air. You have a question for Carolyn?
Hello, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Soleil.
Soleil.
Hi.
All right, let's go.
Okay, go ahead.
Carolyn, let's go.
I'd love to hear the word treatster. Like the trickster could go into the cauldron because we love treats. Instead of trick or treat...
Okay, I think we get the point. Thanks.
Soleil, you have to stay close to your mic, I think.
No, but I think she said, how about putting trickster in the cauldron because we want treats instead of tricks.
Trickster. I'm happy to throw everything into the cauldron, but ladling it out. And I think the mischievous kind of dingbat aspect of trickster is colonial sneaky mind. Trickster, the way we're kind of honoring the and the way it's showing up is, imagine the divine as a giant kind of beguiling, possibly a little dangerous coyote bowing down in front of each one of us going, woof, woof, wanna play? We go, yeah, mm-hmm. we do. We want to collaborate with nature's ingenuity, trickster, raven. It's the seed that sprouts after cataclysm. It's the part of us, some parts of us only come alive at a time of dire beauty. Mm. It loves against all odds. Against all odds? Perfect. Let's do this thing. It is jaunty and jocular in its descent into the underworld. It's got those qualities of resilience.
Is it related to coyote mythos in Native American lore?
Yeah, but I like to sift through it because we critique everything. Nothing's so precious that we tiptoe around it. Because even some of the late Native American stories are still kind of colonized and kind of boys-ish. And so we go, well, liberating everything and the sacred that's become taboo, we make it sacred again. What kinds of groups, gatherings, and teachings is trickster play welcome where the truth can be said? We go, excellent. Any other kind of hierarchical outsourcing of authority in any spiritual tradition or whatever, into the cauldron. Martyrdom, hierarchical religion, into the cauldron, useful for a while, but we can't afford it now.
Yeah.
So, if Soyal wants to throw Trickster into the cauldron, Trickster's happy to swim around in the cauldron.
Yes, he's done it many times, no doubt.
Backstroking going.
He's probably not afraid to jump naked in the cauldron. Okay, so in our last minute, let's just... Yeah, we must go now, right? We got 30 seconds.
Right, okay. We're having too much
magnetized.
Time.
Yeah, I know, right? Time for the real-time movie, I guess. When we see you, we'll be there on Sunday.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah. Okay, so you're skipping your homework on Saturday.
I'm at two other parties. What can I say?
Oh, what can you say? All right. But everybody else, you may come, of course, on Sunday. Anybody can come.
Yes, and I think if I could, I would come. With this would be a really cool time, a chance to meet us all, and who knows, you might belong.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening to the Dr. Future Show here on KSEO Santa Cruz.